We continue our study of the Great Adventure, and this session is entitled Understanding Your Servants by Design Profile, Part 2. Now let's look at that personality structure again. It's a condominium with a foundation and an attic, and that personality structure has six different categories to it, and we looked at two last time, but let's talk about the five truths about your condominium. Let's repeat those again. Your design is not limited to one personality part, but rather a unique combination of all six. We see that with the dreamer, catalyzer, energizer, persister, harmonizer, and achiever. And your percentage bars represent the amount of energy God has given you for each personality part. Your greatest strengths are found in the personality parts closest to the foundation. That's where you're going to spend most of your time. If the whole thing collapsed, that's where it would go to. But we're not looking at the collapse. We're looking at the fact that your high percentage would show what kind of person you are in your strengths. And your personality parts nearest the attic will be the ones you rely on least. So you can have them, but you may not look to them as often. In fact, you won't. And there'll be others that have your strengths, what would be in your foundation, they would have them up top, and it's okay. Many times I see even in couples, married couples, that it's that phrase, the opposites attract. Well, sometimes your personality structures are so different, but it's because God has put you together so that you complement each other well instead of both being the same kind of person. And then understanding your unique personality structure will help you discover your unique design from God. And you can rest in that, that's okay. So let's review those first two personality parts. The harmonizer, remember their strengths were, they were compassionate, sensitive, warm. Their viewpoint is one of a feelings first lens. When they look at a situation, that's what resonates with them first. The motivator for them is they need recognition of person. And when we talked about this last time, that was Mary, the sister of Martha. You as men, as you hear this, you say, well, that's great, but I'd like to know a man that is like this. And so think of Barnabas as the person that would come alongside Paul and be a person of encouragement. So that's the harmonizer. Then there's the achiever, and their strengths would be logical, organized, responsible. And their viewpoint would be a thinking first lens. When they look at a situation, immediately it leans toward thought. And the motivator for them is they need recognition of ideas and accomplishments. And so that's the achiever. Let's keep going. Understanding the strengths, viewpoint, and motivators of the next four personality parts. The next one that is on the list is one that's called a persister. And that's a person, obviously, that persists in things. And the strengths of that individual are they are dedicated, they are observant, they are conscientious, and this kind of person, they look at a situation, their viewpoint is an evaluating first lens. And so they walk into a room and immediately they're evaluating things, and they're dedicated, they're observant people. These people amaze me with their giftedness and their skill set to be able to do what they do. And then the motivator for them is they need recognition of convictions and beliefs. They're the kind of person that when they're handling a situation, somebody says, you know, I see you you have integrity in this issue, or you stand firm in things. And that's the kind of thing that encourages them, that motivates them. While the percentage of the U.S. population that is this is about 10%, and 25% of them are female, and 75% are male. And the biblical example that we see in Scripture is the Apostle Paul, and we get that from Philippians 3, beginning at verse 4. So take a listen to these verses. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And so he is holding to his convictions. He evaluates even himself as he's talking through this testimony. And he comes to grips with the kind of person he has been, but he's also looking to the future of what motivates him and what is the strength. So Paul would be a persister, and we are so glad that he persisted in what truly mattered. Well, we come to the next one, and that's a dreamer. And their strengths are they're imaginative, they're reflective, they are calm. Their viewpoint is a reflecting first lens. The motivator for them is they need private time and they need personal space, and they draw knowledge from that. They draw motivation from that. That's where their strength lies. Percentage of the U.S. population, 10% in totality. 60% would be female, and 40% of them are male. And a biblical example of this is Mary, who is the mother of Jesus. And let's look at the verses there in Luke 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." So right away, she's given information that she has to process. And you think about what was handed to her and her processing it. And he's saying, don't be afraid. This is what's going to happen to you. And she mulls things over. And that's the kind of person that God entrusted to carry his son. And then we see in chapter 2, beginning at verse 16, we see, "And they went with haste," and this is the shepherds, "and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. So once again, we see Mary reflective, calm, taking that private time, that personal space to put these thoughts together. Pretty amazing. Well, then we come to the next one, and it's one called a catalyzer. A catalyzer. And their strengths are they are adaptable. They are persuasive. They are charming people. And the viewpoint is an acting first lens. This is an individual that isn't just going to sit there. Nike would love this person. Just do it. And they are a motivator. They need excitement. They need opportunities to make things happen. And percentage of the U.S. population is 5%. And 40% of these are female and 60% are male. And the biblical example that we have for this is from the book of Joshua, and is actually a lady by the name of Rahab. But take a listen to these verses beginning at verse 1 of chapter 2 of Joshua. And Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." And they went and came to the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, "Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and had them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way of the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as you we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house and give me a sure sign. Then you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." And the men said to her, "Our life for yours, even to death, if you do not tell this business of ours. Then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, "Go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward you may go your way." What an amazing story of a woman who is wise beyond her years and used of God to protect the spies that went to Jericho, found the information they needed to, and then God used that even later, as they will be the ones that will tell Joshua what's going on, and then God will give them a great victory there. But she acted quickly. She not only received that information, but then she's persuasive in how she's talking to these spies and makes a decision that ultimately blesses her to the point where she lives, but she's also ends up in the line of Christ. That's a catalyzer. Lastly, there's an energizer. The strengths of this person are they're spontaneous, they're creative, sometimes they're even playful, and their viewpoint is a reacting first lens. The motivator, they need that playful context, and they need humor, and they need that kind of thing to do well. And the percentage of the U.S. population of this is a 20%. 60% are female and 40% are male. And the biblical example we see here is from the book of John, chapter 13, and it's the person of Peter, Simon Peter. So listen to this in this context where Jesus is going to be washing the disciples' feet. We begin at verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus responds, and there's a little back and forth. And then we see Peter's comments here. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And so a lot of times many people have a problem with Peter because he is so spontaneous. But this is who God entrusted to be the first preacher at Pentecost. This is the one that was heading the church as it was taking on its beginning days. And God knew exactly what was needed. And so an energizer is an amazing individual that can be used of God in great ways. And so as you think about you and your giftedness and the things that you respond to, you could see how your building is put together. So I have some questions for you as we wrap up our time. What insight did you gain today that helps you understand your unique design more completely? And then would you be able to and willing to share that insight with someone? And then look again at these viewpoints of each personality part. How could you use those? How could you understand those? And that would enhance your communication with others. Is there a friend or a business associate, a neighbor, or family member with whom you could make an immediate application? And then what is your application? So think about that as you spend time with people and you start to see, oh, you're a catalyzer. You're an energizer. You're a dreamer. You're a persister. You're a achiever. You're a harmonizer. And none of those things is wrong. That's the way God made them. That's the way God wired them. That's the way God built them. Now, how can they use those strengths for God's glory and their good? And that's the kind of stuff that we make some big accomplishments with.